Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, we've been talking through this Lenten season about some of the aspects of our communion, which comes from the Passover meal and how they are related to one another. And last week we were talking about what happens when God's in a hurry. And I kind of wanted to take a little bit more from that. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 8, one of the instructions that Moses is given by God to give to the people on the Passover night is that same night they are to eat meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. And I want to talk about this bread made without yeast. That's what we're focusing on today, is this business about being without the yeast. Has anybody here ever baked bread? You can't do that in a hurry, can you? You have to let it rise. And that's what the yeast is in there for. I know some translations of the Bible use the word leaven, and I might start talking about leaven. If I start talking about leaven, I'm talking about yeast. Now, as I understand it, yeast is a particular kind of leaven. Or is it leaven's a particular? No, not, it's not leaven as a particular kind of yeast. Yeast is a kind of leaven. Okay, good. I don't know all these things. I'm still picking up some of these things. But you have to just leave it sit, and it rises. It actually grows, and it gets bigger. Now, what would happen if you baked the bread? I'm guessing you know something about baking bread. What would happen if you tried to bake it without it rising? Okay. It's hard like a cracker. It's no good that way. But the people are told to make bread without yeast. And that's part of the being in a hurry thing, because God said we needed to be ready to go. He said that Israel needed to be ready to go, so you don't have time to let your bread rise. Later on in chapter 12, verses 14 through 20, God is giving Moses instructions for the celebration, the annual celebration coming after this event happens. He says, "This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your house. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it, from the first day through the seventh, must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast, from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses, and whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made without yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread." It was such a big deal that they were calling Passover the Festival of Unleavened Bread. That's how important that was, the whole unleavened bread part. Now, in communion, the bread we've been having is a flat bread, but it's still got yeast in it. And, you know, I don't want to spoil the rest of the message for anybody, but, you know, we're going to be taking communion today with bread that doesn't have leaven in it. It's not matzah, but it's Robin baked it. But it was so important that leaven not be there. They even said there shouldn't be any leaven in your house. There shouldn't be any leaven in your house. Now this gets to a point where there's this tradition that happens close to Passover in Jewish homes, where everybody does a very, very thorough cleaning of their house to make sure that all the leaven and all the bread is gone. And that's actually where we get our tradition of spring cleaning. Did you know spring cleaning was a biblical concept? In the springtime, we do all this extra cleaning in our house, and this is where it comes from, this tradition of getting rid of the leaven. So one of the things we need to do, maybe, is to kind of get rid of this leaven, this extra stuff. You can make bread without leaven, but it's not the same. Often in the New Testament, leaven and yeast are not regarded very highly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." See, the concern is that if there's yeast in the house anywhere, it might get into your bread, and then you'd have yeast in your bread. I remember once Robin decided she was going to make bread from scratch to give this a try. And one of the things she did was she just kind of left it out, hoping that something would get in it. And it did. No, not ants. But it rose. I might be remembering this wrong, and I really hope I'm not, okay? But it seems to me that the bread was just exposed to the air overnight for something to settle into it. I don't know. Maybe. But we're talking about this idea of getting all the yeast out of the house, because maybe there's just some in the dust. But there's this whole house cleaning thing, and we're to get rid of the yeast, and as Paul said, and I lost my place, a little yeast works the whole batch of dough. So it only takes a little bit. I remember watching a movie a long time ago, and I really wish I could remember what it was, but there was this woman who was making chili, and her husband came home and tasted the chili and got mad at her because there was too much spice in it. And he demanded that she remove the spice from the chili. Has anybody ever tried to remove spice from chili? I like making chili, and I use spice in it, because you're supposed to use spice in chili. I don't know what this guy's problem was. But once you add things, you can't take them out. And it's the same thing with the yeast. Once the yeast is added to the bread, it can't be taken out. Even a little bit ruins it. And this yeast is representative of our sin. Just a little bit ruins us. Whatever that sin may be, just a little bit of it is enough. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, there was one thing they could do wrong, and they did it. That one simple act, and it ruined it for the rest of humanity to come. Just a little bit of yeast in that bread. And we know that even one action, even one sin, is enough to condemn us. And it ruins everything. And it can't be taken out. I remember once our youth group was given a youth group at a church I was going to was given a challenge. They were, I think, teaching a lesson on when you say something inappropriate, something you shouldn't say, how it's hard to take those words back. What they did was they took a plate and a tube of toothpaste, and they emptied the tube of toothpaste onto the plate and said, "Now put it back." Have you ever tried to put toothpaste back in the tube? You can't. I don't think it can be done. Unless maybe you had like a very small spoon. There are just things that can't be fixed. There are words we can say that cannot be taken back. There are things that we see that we cannot unsee. There are things that we can witness that we can never forget. That's that yeast. Fortunately, though, we have Christ. He calls us to be the salt of the earth. Now, the yeast can't be taken out, but salt will kill yeast if you have enough of it. And we can't take that sin out of our lives, but we can kill it. We can clean it out of our houses. One of the popular things that goes on in the Lenten season is a lot of people give things up. Did anybody give anything up for Lent this year? I didn't. But I know I'm going to pick on Ruby because she's here, and I know this. Ruby gave up for Lent. She gave up her Kindle, which is tough. And I'm really proud of the fact that she's managed to do such a good job, because to be honest with you, I didn't think you'd make it. Now, we still have 2 weeks left of Lent. You've made it this far. I know you can make it the rest of the way. Usually in Lent, we're usually giving up something that's not good for us. Like, I know people who, like, they give up drinking for Lent. I had a boss years ago who would give up. That was her traditional thing. Every year Lent, she would give up drinking, except for St. Patrick's Day, which always seems to fall in Lent. But we usually give up, like, sweets or, you know, candy, chocolate, stuff that's usually better that we not have in the first place. And I know Lent is almost over. We get two weeks left. It's almost over. But we don't need to wait for Lent to give something up. We don't need to wait for the springtime to clean house, to get rid of the old yeast, to get rid of the old leaven that's lying around the house, polluting what we might do. We have the opportunity at any time. Just a reminder, though, that this is symbolic. You know, I'm not saying that bread has to be made without leaven or yeast. I'm not saying that we need to go out and buy yeastless bread. Is that what you'd call it? Yeastless bread? I don't know. There's probably a name for it. I don't know what it is. I'll just make it up. Yeastless bread. We don't need to go out and get yeastless bread. It's okay to eat regular bread, but this is meant as a symbol. You know, Passover is meant to be very symbolic in many ways to the coming of Christ. And we remember it through communion. As we partake today with our unleavened bread, I want us to remember that we have this opportunity to clean house. And by house, I don't mean your apartment. I mean this house, the house that's yourself, to get rid of whatever that is that's polluting you, whatever that may be. This might come as a shock and surprise to some of you, but I'm an overeater. Nobody's going, oh, you're giggling. So I can tell you, you know it. I'm an overeater. That's what I need to deal with. I'm coming out for this. It's what I need to deal with. You're all sitting there, no kidding. That's my yeast. That's what I need to get rid of. I should have, at the beginning of Lent, given up cookies and cake and candy and all that. To be honest with you, I need to give up those things for the rest of my life. It would probably be best. We all need to clean house. And sometimes we may need to dig deep into the corners to find that piece of dirt. Because hopefully, for the most part, our houses are clean anyway. But none of us, no matter how hard we try, is perfect. None of us is perfect. There's always going to be that thing left there. And fortunately, we have Christ who forgives all of that. And we remember that, especially coming up toward the end of this Lenten season. We remember the price he paid for us so that we can leave the corners dirty. But hopefully we don't want to. Is it not better for us to keep the house clean and to keep cleaning it? To get rid of that old yeast so that we may be a new batch of dough without yeast? For Christ the Passover Lamb has been sacrificed. Paul continues in verse 8, therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? O Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike license. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Before I get to the benediction, just a show of hands, since y'all are here, you get to decide. Do we continue with this unleavened bread, or do we go back to the flat bread? Who wants unleavened? Who wants flat bread? Who doesn't care? Just so it's communion. Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And it really doesn't matter. It's symbolic. It's okay. I wanted to use unleavened bread specifically today because I was talking about there not being leaven in the bread. It's okay that we take communion with bread that has leaven in it. I mean, for goodness sakes, we're using grape juice instead of wine. It's okay. But hopefully, as I was coming around with communion, you were thinking about the yeast that is ruining your dough. And as I said, mine is overeating and I'm very doughy. I need to stop rising. I've come out publicly and said it, so hold me to it. But what about you? I'm not asking anybody to come forward and confess openly and publicly what their yeast is. But you need to deal with it. You need to take care of it. We all need to clean house, even if it's to the point of getting deep into those corners. We need to make that effort. Spring cleaning needs to happen all the time in our hearts. The service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.